You're listening to Beyond Bourbon Street, an insider's guide to New Orleans. Beyond Bourbon Street is the podcast where we explore the food, music, culture, places, and people that make New Orleans unique. Whether you are planning a trip, living in New Orleans, or simply wanting a taste of the Crescent City from wherever you are, you've come to the right place. And now, your host, Mark Bologna.
Hey y'all, this is Mark. Welcome to episode 132. Today's episode's a Q&A show. I've collected questions from listeners like you and from our Patreon supporters about a wide variety of New Orleans topics. The last show was all about an interstate that wasn't built in the French Quarter and another one that was built in the Treme. Both had dramatic impacts on their neighborhoods. If you missed it, go back and give it a listen. I learned a lot doing the research for that episode, and I think you'll learn something too. Before we jump in, let me talk about the people that make this show possible. First is Honey Island Kayak Tours. It's a small company owned by Jessica Gawley, and her tours are exactly what they sound. They're kayak tours of the Honey Island Swamp, which is about 45 minutes from New Orleans. The swamp is amazing, and every time you go out there, it's a little bit different. You are surrounded by trees that are hundreds of years old and wildlife. It's pretty leisurely, so if you're not the most athletic person in the world, you don't have to worry about it. Jessica's an extremely knowledgeable guide and really passionate about what she does, so it's just a terrific time. The groups are pretty small. The day I went out, there were just, I think, four of us. So I cannot encourage you enough. If you're looking for something to do beyond Bourbon Street, get a little bit of exercise and see something outside of New Orleans, call Jessica. You can find the information for her and her website over at the show notes, which will be at beyondbourbonst.com. And I have a guest helping me today. And when we get to her in a minute, I know she has also been out on a kayak tour with Jessica. So really keep that in mind for your next visit to New Orleans, Honey Island Kayak Tours. And if you live in New Orleans and maybe haven't done that, check it out, especially now as we get into the spring and early summer. It's a great time to be out there. Today's episode is also brought to us by our Patreon supporters. If you love the podcast, the Facebook group, and the work I'm doing, please consider becoming a monthly supporter. For the price of a cup of coffee or a beer, you can help me continue to share my lens in New Orleans with you. And if you join at the $10 level or above, we'll mention you on the show, like our newest supporter, Alexis Repetto. Again, you can find out the information over at the show notes, or you can go to patreon.com/beyondbourbonst.com. Today, again, as I mentioned, we have a series of questions, and I got a couple of them where, at least one, where the person specifically asked for Liz Wood. Liz, as longtime listeners know, is a sponsor of the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. She's also a friend, and I thought, well, hey, we'll just get her to come and help me answer some of the questions. So Liz is here with me. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, it's good. It's kind of a, well, chilly by New Orleans standards, Friday afternoon.
I'm wearing a coat.
It's 58 degrees for those of you in other parts of the country, but that's New Orleans cold. And we were trying to figure out where to record, and so we were lucky enough to have one of the property owners that Liz is listing for sale allowed us to use his home.
It is a beautiful home in the Broadmoor area, and I am excited to be here. I just listed it recently. So all you folks who are looking to move to New Orleans, this is one of your stops for sure.
And instead, we'll put the information for Liz at it's lizwoodrealty.com, but we'll put a link to the listing in the show notes, Liz, so that we can throw a little extra attention this way. I happen to live one neighborhood over, and this is a terrific neighborhood on a terrific street, and it's a beautiful house. So if you are looking for a house in New Orleans, contact Liz, but this is definitely worth checking out. With that, we're going to jump into the questions. I don't know, there's somewhere around 16 or 18 questions. As always, patrons get first preference. So if you are a patron and you submitted a question, we will make sure to cover it here at the top. And the other way you can get questions submitted for future shows is to join our Facebook group, which is over at the Beyond Bourbon Street Crew, K-R-E-W-E. There's about 8,000 members now. So if you don't get your question answered today and you have a question, that is a great resource. People post questions and quickly get dozens and dozens of answers. So with that, let's jump in, Liz. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Michelle Minotti, or Minotti, says, now that live music seems to be back, is there a performer or a group that you can't wait to see perform live again? Or a venue that you can't wait to go back to, no matter who may be performing? So I'll start off, and you can jump in if you want to. You know, I mostly just miss live music. I'm a big live music fan. Dixie Brewery, soon to be Faubourg Brewing, out in New Orleans East, a couple weeks ago, I think, restarted their outdoor music schedule. And a previous guest on this show, James Cullen, and I went out there last Sunday. And that is, I don't know if you've been, but that is a fabulous place for live music. It's outdoors. There's plenty of space. They have plenty of picnic tables. It's socially distanced. Plenty of beer, of course. They were selling boiled crawfish. So I've already done that, and I really enjoy it. I want to get over to the Broadside, which is a relatively new place on Broad Street. There's a movie theater, the Broad Street Movie Theater. And since COVID started, they've opened a outdoor facility called the Broadside. And I don't remember. I know you're not a big Jazz Fest fan, but are you a live music fan?
Way to call me out. I like live music. And actually, one of the Beyond Bourbon Street crew members that I've helped find a place to live, they are in the Funky Monkeys.
Oh, really?
And yeah. They are an outstanding band. They do cover music, and they play in the French Quarter, I believe, every night, or they did before COVID. And mm-hmm. I'm very excited to see them again. They do weddings, too. So I like them. And then my husband and I like to go to Chickiwawa.
That's a great place.
Great venue.
So that's on Canal Street. It looks really tiny from the outside. It's a little bit bigger than it looks inside, with a good bar, too. I mostly just want to get out and enjoy music with other people, to be honest.
Yes. That's I miss bellying up to a bar, ordering an easy cocktail, right, and just enjoying music.
Right. Yeah. So that's a couple of them. Hey, Michelle, the best resource, in my opinion, there's two. WWOZ, our fabulous local radio station, has a music listing. And then Offbeat Magazine, which is really devoted to local music, has a good listing. So whenever someone asks for a recommendation, or if we want to go out and don't have a specific band or place in mind, those two places, those two websites, and I'll put links to them on the website, those are really good places to look up and just see what's going on in the city in terms of live music. So thank you for the question. That's a great one. Next up, Ron Porter asks, can you talk about the various cooking schools? We'd love to take a class on our trip next month. So this is the one. I usually don't research the questions ahead of time. This one I did a little bit. Ron, one of the challenges is some of the cooking schools have gone out of business during COVID. I think, you know, that requires small groups. It's generally intimate spaces. And that's been one of the things that's been a little bit hit during COVID. Coincidentally, today on the Facebook group, I posted Chef Frank Brightson was taking part or hosting a cooking class in City Park. And again, you can find that over in our Facebook group at Beyond Bourbon Street Crew. But Frank Brightson, again, a former guest on the show, owns a wonderful bistro called Brightson's Cafe, or Brightson's, excuse me, with his wife Marna in the Riverbend area, actually not that far from where we're sitting right now. He also happens, in addition to being a great chef, is just a wonderful human being. So if he has anything being offered when you come to town, I would look at that and probably jump on it. There's also the New Orleans School of Cooking, which has been around a long time. One that I haven't done yet that is on my list is there's the Gold Ring Cooking School, which is next to Whole Foods on Broad. Dodd, this is the second or third time we've mentioned Broad Street already. It's free, which is interesting. But there's also a waiting list, in part because it's free. So that's something to check out. And then, gosh, Liz, I didn't mean to do this, but yet another previous guest on the show, I've done a lot of shows, Liz Williams, who is the curator and the founder or co-founder of the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. They often have events with either cooking demos or actual cooking classes. That's also a really neat place. I forget the episode, and I will look that up and add it to the show notes. That's a cool little museum to go to, by the way. But they have a really nice, I'll call it a demo kitchen, but really a lot of space. So that's an idea. Again, my top choice would be Frank Brightson, but any of those, Ron, would be great. Check and see if Frank has a thing. And that's part of, in City Park, they have like an ongoing schedule of both demonstrations and cooking classes with various New Orleans chefs. So if that's available, that would be fun, and it's in a nice setting as well. Have you ever been to a cooking class in New Orleans?
I haven't.
I don't know that I have.
I saw the one that you posted with Frank Brightson, and if I weren't going to be out of town, I would have done it. It looks amazing.
It does.
And reasonably priced. I mean, that's a great date night or friend night.
That's exactly what Marie and I thought. I'm trying to look it up now. That's what we thought when we saw it earlier today.
I think it's on April 1st.
That sounds right.
Because right, I noted before, that I wouldn't be here.
It's right before Easter.
Yes.
That one. And I'm having trouble with my internet. And again, I cannot say enough nice things about Frank Brightson. His food's terrific.
And a client just went there per your request 2-3 nights ago, and they loved it. So
good.
Yeah, you can't go wrong.
It may be, it's easily in my top three restaurants and probably my favorite restaurant in the city, in part because of he and his wife. But the food is phenomenal, and I can't find, there, let's see. We had a lovely debut of the Frank and Friends cooking class series at City Park last night. Someone just posted this a few hours ago. The next one is, you're right, Thursday, April 1st, with a different chef. It's $125 a person, but it is a whole evening, and it looks terrific. So it looks like the classes are, well, again, it's in City Park. And if Frank's involved, anything, any chef is going to be terrific. So check that out. All right. Next up, Chaz Ludwig asks, what are your favorite tourist things to do in the city? I've been coming down since 2010, and there are still touristy things I enjoy when I'm in the city. As a local, do you get enjoyment out of any of those types of activities? You know, that's a fun question. I think in the 5+ years I've been doing the podcast, in many ways, it's caused me to do some of the touristy things just to kind of touch base with them again or to think about a different angle on them. I really enjoy the walking tours. The walking tours in the Garden District with Christine Miller over at Two Chicks walking tours are really good. And I think even though that might be considered a little touristy, they're never quite the same. And so that's fun. I still like walking down Bourbon Street once in a while, even though the podcast is called Beyond Bourbon Street. You know, there's so many characters and things like that. How about you, Liz? Is there anything touristy that you really enjoy?
I never get sick of the swamp, so I regularly go to Jean Lafitte because it's free and it's a walking trail, and sometimes you just like to take your time. And then with Jessica, I definitely plan to go this spring because she told me there would be a lot of snakes. So swamp tours are a big thing for me. And then I actually went to the Sazerac House the other day. It was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it's a free 90-minute tour. They give you little tiny cocktails along the way and have a great teacher / guide. And it kind of made me feel normal again.
Yeah, really?
And they make you, I mean, you have to wear gloves, you have to wear a mask, but you just feel like you're not thinking about that. You're just having a good time.
And that's right on Canal Street, right?
That's right on Canal.
And
right.
It's relatively new. It either opened in 2020 or just before.
It's and they'll tell you about the history of it. The building was in disrepair, and the family of Sazerac, they totally rehabbed it, and it is gorgeous. It's worth it. And like I said, it's free, so it's you get a reservation online, and then you present your ticket, and they tour you around. I came away with lots of booze.
which I'm sure is partially the point on their behalf of the free tickets. But that's a good one. It is a beautiful building. You know, the other thing that some people consider touristy, I guess, is I never get tired of riding the streetcar.
Never.
Particularly the St. Charles streetcar, the green one. And some people use it as transportation, but often you get on as a local and there's a lot of tourists. It never gets old.
No, I agree with that.
I live just a couple blocks from the streetcar line, and that is a very relaxing, very New Orleans thing to do. So that's a couple things. But it's a good question, Chaz, because the more I get into the podcast, the more, again, I try to look at those things. And like the Sazerac House is such a good example, Liz. Things change all the time in the city.
They do.
And new attractions open that might be touristy, but are also fun. I love to ride the Algiers, the Canal Street Ferry across to Algiers Point. It's $2 each way for passengers. It's only a passenger. There's no cars on it. That's such a fun, and I recommend that all the time to people, but it's such a fun thing to do. You're at eye level on the river with the traffic. There's a breeze even in the summer. So that's a really fun thing too. All right, next up, Bill Carrig asks, let's see, there's a lot here. How do locals feel about the inevitable influx of tourism returning during what is still considered a global pandemic? I've always felt welcomed as a tourist, but wouldn't surprise me if that attitude has changed since returning tourism may cause spikes that prolong restrictions. Tourism must bring so much money to town, but at this point it seems like a double-edged sword. I think it is a double-edged sword. I would tell you in the Facebook group, it's the hottest and most contentious issue. Liz is laughing because she sees it. She's an active member in the group. And it splits exactly like you said. There are people that say, go home, stay away, don't come. And there are others, particularly those that are involved in the small businesses, particularly in New Orleans, that say, we need you to come. Come and take precautions. And, you know, I think... So recently, last weekend, we were talking to someone and the French Quarter was packed. The flip side of that is an awful lot of businesses weren't open. So tourists were just sort of wandering around and weren't having the experience that maybe they expected. I'll ask you for your take in a minute, Liz. But my take is I think it's good to come. I think you got to respect the masks and, you know, if you can get a vaccine, get a vaccine. You also have to really understand things are just not normal. And so if you want to go someplace, call ahead because the hours on their website might not be accurate. Things are changing all the time with, you know, percentages of people and restrictions, and that's causing businesses to open and close. Businesses, Frank Brightson again, had to close for 2 weeks because he got COVID. And he had been open and he had also been doing takeout. Polly Watts at the Avenue Pub, I think, had a similar situation. So you have to be flexible with it. You know, my opinion is that it's okay to come as long as you have those expectations and as long as you are sort of a good citizen about it and understand what's going on. What are your thoughts on that?
I mean, I've gone to small cities and I'm just very respectful, and I really feel like our city is so welcoming, and that's what I want to portray. I use OpenTable and Resy a lot because I want to see what's open.
That's a good idea.
And also, just out of respect for the restaurants, I make a reservation and not try to do it last minute, or even if it's last minute, no problem, but just to let them know what to expect. So I've kind of gotten into that habit. And then there are so many things to do in this city that don't require being on people-filled streets that I feel like I could come here and do a lot.
Right.
Just like we're saying, the streetcar, going to the Fly and watching the riverboats.
City Park.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, there really is so much to do outdoors. And even if you're exploring the French Quarter, you know, there's so much that's outdoors. So I think that's a good point. The idea of using OpenTable or Resy is a good one because it's just impossible to keep up right now with hours of operations. And then there's one guy in the group now that's coming in the next couple of days, and I know he's been at least once during the pandemic, but he spends most of the time outdoors. And his expectations are that It's not going to be a time when I'm going to go to a lot of indoor things. It's not going to be a time when I'm going to go to a ton of sit-down restaurants, but I'm fine with wandering around and looking at the architecture, you know. And so I think with that kind of expectation, it's great. Or places like the Sazerac House you mentioned that are doing it well. Also, probably like a lot of cities, a lot of places have found a way to have outdoor dining. So that's, you know, we'll see how that holds up as we get to July and August. but we haven't had to deal with that yet.
But the restaurants also let you on OpenTable and Resy pick if right. you want outdoor dining. Yeah. So that's another reason I like it, because I'm taking my mom out next week for her birthday, and she said, I'm not going unless it's outdoors. Mm-hmm. We're going to Cafe des Gars. They have a lovely patio. Most of it's outdoors anyway. So it's perfect.
Yeah.
It's easy. And when you navigate it, and it would just be the same in any other city I go to. You just...
Yeah, that makes sense, right? You just got to kind of adapt to the new normal.
Exactly.
Cafe des Gars, I just wrote, and this is one of the questions we'll get to, I'm working on a travel guide, and today I wrote the section about Esplanade and City Park, and you were talking about so many things to do. You could easily make a day of City Park, go see St. Louis number 3, which is just a cemetery 2 blocks from Cafe des Gars, have a wonderful meal, whether it's brunch or lunch or dinner at Cafe des Gars. As you mentioned, it's kind of set up for it, because I think there might only be 2 tables inside anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's a good one. So yeah, Bill, I think it's mixed. Again, if we've had to really moderate the group lately, because people have very strong opinions about this. But we are a tourism-based culture here. So, you know, it's important, and it's been, you know, over a year now. Laura Dronan. Oh, she likes the previous question. So these came from Facebook. My spouse and I will be fully vaccinated by mid-April and would love to visit for some outdoor dining. Again, there's plenty of outdoor dining. We'll see how that is in July and August. But plenty of very casual places. And people, places have found ways to do that. So
maybe they'll get the misters, you know, the kind that instead of the heater heating mister. Lamps, yeah. the misting yeah.
That would be good, I guess. That would be nice. I don't know how that would work with COVID or not, but yeah.
True.
I saw that, is it Saba recently? So Saba is a pretty high-end restaurant, I would say, and they have lots of outdoor dining now, and they didn't used to. And so that's a, you know, I eat at Barracuda a lot, which is a very casual sort of authentic Mexican street taco kind of place, because they have tons of outdoor space. So I don't know if they have misters, but last summer they had these outdoor air conditioners.
Okay.
They can't be very, like, it must cost a fortune to run these things.
Right.
But you could sit relatively close to an outdoor air conditioner, and it was, you know, it was comfortable.
Did you hear that they're opening, I heard they were opening up one in Algiers Point.
Barracuda?
Yeah.
That would be terrific.
I was just at Algiers Point yesterday, uh-huh. and that was the word on the street.
Really? Because Algiers Point is terrific, but there's only a couple places to eat.
Yeah. We went to Toute de Suite.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Such good breakfast, by the way.
I think it's worth it just to go across, take some pictures, walk on the levee, get a drink. There's a couple of places that are good for breakfast. There's a couple of places that have good live music over there. Yeah. Old Point Bar comes to mind. So Barracuda over there would be terrific.
100%.
Yeah. So there's a plug for Barracuda. Really good lunch place. Let's see. Wow, there's another long one. Ashley Elizabeth. So I just cut and paste these. I don't read them ahead of time, except the cooking school one, because I needed to check up on that. Ashley Elizabeth, when we travel to New Orleans, it's usually just me and my husband, or we come with friends. 2 years ago this week, we came with our 9-month-old, so that almost a 3-year-old now. We'll be coming up. There you go. We'll be coming later this year with our son, who will be 3. No car. If you could answer any questions about getting around the city, where to go or not, would be great. Toddlers are their own category for sure. That's true. I have now 9-year-old twins. We plan to be masked everywhere, and our son is very good about wearing his. Considering the aquarium, City Park, Cafe du Monde, Algiers Point on the ferry, big question, could we do Brennan's for breakfast? I'd love to hear some thoughts about traveling with a toddler, and could we get away with Brennan's? Are there restaurants that are not kid-friendly? All right. So I did a whole episode about coming to New Orleans with kids. I think, and I'm going to try to look this up while we're talking, I'm pretty sure it was episode 7. So it was way back in the archives. but most of that is still relevant. At the time when I did that, I think my children were 4 or 5 years old. I'm going to ask you to jump in a minute because, Liz, I know you obviously deal with a lot of different families when you are helping them find houses. Definitely you can get by without a car. You can take the streetcar and you can walk most places. And a three-year-old, I assume you're probably still using a stroller. So you'll have no trouble with that. In terms of Brennan's, my kids actually went to a, I'm going to call it a manners class at Brennan's. So they went on a field trip and they learned how to set the table. And they were young, so older than three, but young. They had to learn how to set the table. And then they were all, I cannot imagine, like the poor teachers. But they took 20 young kids to Brennan's, and there's a whole little program they have at Brennan's. So they teach you about the manners and about setting the table, and then they serve you brunch.
That's amazing.
In fact, it's been years, and my kids were talking about the bacon and the biscuits just yesterday. So I definitely think you can get away with breakfast at Brennan's. I probably wouldn't take a three-year-old to Commander's. I think they would, Commander's would be fine with it. But, you know, if your child starts acting up or gets fidgety in a long meal, you know, you're likely to be more nervous than they are. Let's see, you mentioned a bunch. Again, we just mentioned City Park. You can easily spend a day in City Park. Certainly there's Café du Monde. And right next to Café du Monde in City Park is a really good playground for kids. It's often overrun with kids. And there's also, besides the playground, that's a spot in the city where there's a lot of oak trees that kind of go down to the ground, like the branches. And so I remember as a kid climbing on those, and my kids now do that. In City Park, you have City Putt, which is kind of the equivalent of like Putt-Putt, but with a New Orleans theme. There's a small amusement park in City Park called Storyland. There is the
Children's Museum.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, that's the Children's Museum was downtown, so I wasn't thinking about it, but that's right. In City Park, you can rent like little pedal boats in the park. There's a sculpture garden, which is a pretty good place for kids to run around and mom and dad to take a break. So, and you could get there by taking, if you're staying downtown or in the Central Business District, you could take the Red Streetcar Line and take the Carrollton Extension and go down there. And along that way, you would find several places to eat. So again, you could stop at Venezia's for pizza and good Italian food. You could go to Angelo Brocata's and get cannoli and other Italian treats. Gelato.
Yeah.
This time of year, you could stop at Pandora's Snowballs, get a snowball with the kids, and get him good and loaded up on sugar before you let him run wild in City Park. So I would definitely spend some time in the streetcar. I would go out to City Park, the Algiers Ferry, which we've already talked about 4 or 5 times. That's cheap and fun, and kids love that. And if you go to the aquarium, it's right there. So you're, you know, I don't know, 100 feet from the ferry landing when you go there. Anything else jump out at you?
I would say, I mean, the zoo and then Audubon Park. There's that new Morning Call opening up on Canal Boulevard, and I'm dying to go. I cannot wait for the opening. So,
and you could do that by taking the Red Streetcar and not taking the Carrollton Extension. So
exactly.
You just take it till it runs out.
That's even right. Walking in the cemeteries right there, I mean, you know, a three-year-old can run around.
Right. There's a Hurricane Katrina Memorial right there, which is small, but is interesting. And again, nobody's going to bother you with, you know, a kid that runs away or runs, you know, runs away from you, mom and dad. Yeah. And that kind of gets to your point earlier, Liz. There's so much to do in New Orleans that's outdoors. So then by definition, it's okay with kids.
Right.
I wouldn't wander the French Quarter at night with a three-year-old. But during the day, it's fine.
Totally.
And, you know, you'll also, I think the street musicians are starting to come back. And so that's fun for kids, you know, and almost universally, one of my children loves live music and has always enjoyed the street musicians in the French Quarter. So I think you'll find plenty. And in terms of a nice place, Brennan's is a good choice. I know they're used to kids there. Most places will be fine, but I think as a parent, you know, if it's an upscale place, I don't think the kid would care. I don't think the restaurant would care, but I would care. You know, and particularly a place where you might have a dinner that's going to go an hour and a half or 2 hours, I might shy away from those. The flip side is you can get really great food at even casual places here. Joey K's would be a perfect place with kids.
Yes.
A magazine. Good food, casual, you know, it's a little bit loud, so, you know, your child is not going to disrupt anybody. So I hope that helps, Ashley, but definitely don't worry about bringing a young child. Brian Ryben, what is your favorite time of year in New Orleans? What is your favorite time of year in New Orleans,
Liz? Right now. So last year, when COVID happened, I had a screen porch erected on this patio that was existing, and I think that I use it almost every day, even during the summer. And maybe it's just my mind tricking me. I have a fan, and I think it's even cool enough in the night to sit on my screen porch in the summer. And I force all of my, after this, I have a friend coming over for some wine and cheese, and we're going to be sitting out there with blankets.
With blankets, right, because it's New Orleans cold. And, you know, spring feels like it's only about 4 weeks long in New Orleans. This is the perfect porch sitting weather. We have a porch that's kind of raised, so you can't really see us sitting out there from the street, which is nice. I like late fall. And again, seasons are short here. We have like a colder period of time and then a really hot period of time. I like late fall. This year, I'm super stoked about Jazz Fest. So October is going to have French Quarter Fest, Jazz Fest, and Voodoo Fest. It's going to make it a very busy month. So I'm super stoked about that because we've never had a Jazz Fest in October. And the weather, like a friend of ours calls October in New Orleans the glorious month of October. But that's misleading. Like some years it's really hot in October and some years it truly is glorious. So I'm hoping for the latter. But I think October is my favorite time of year. Lori Miller asks, what are some of the best off-the-beaten-path restaurants, coffee bars, dive bars, et cetera, that have the best t-shirts? All right, I didn't see that coming. I love wearing t-shirts from New Orleans locally owned businesses. It feels like to me almost every dive place in New Orleans has t-shirts. I'm going to put in a plug for one of our other sponsors, NOLA T-Shirt Club. Jackie and John Abston have a place, and so it's not affiliated with any one bar or restaurant, but they have terrific New Orleans t-shirts. Snake and Jake's Christmas Lounge just reopened. That's about as divey as you can get.
That is the diviest.
Liz is laughing at me. It's a very late night bar in the Carrollton neighborhood. That's a great place to get a shirt. That's a great place to get a cheap drink very late at night. And it just reopened. I haven't been back yet. Let's see. So off the beaten path restaurants, popular with locals, but Dom Alisi's comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Good shrimp po' boys in a place that's easy to miss. I'm going to put in a plug for Clancy's, which is a nice restaurant. So, you know, more on the higher end, although not fancy. And I'm going to call it off the beaten path because I think if you're not from New Orleans, it's very hard to find. Off of Chapultepec, again, kind of in the Riverbend area. Anything come to mind for you?
So there's this little area of Magazine. I like Baru a lot. It's not New Orleansy food. It's right. More, I think it's Central or South American. Mm-hmm. And then across from there, I like the Bullany Tavern for sort of an upper scale bar, if you will, but you can get really good food. And then Lillette next to it. I did go there recently. The food is phenomenal, but be prepared to bring your pocketbook.
Yes. We haven't been there, and we were talking about that the other day.
It was a treat for, I had two closings back to back, and I said, I'm treating myself to Lillette today. So I did that, and my husband got to benefit from that. Blue Oak is one of my favorites too, off the beaten path, I would say, than where most people stay.
People don't think of New Orleans as a barbecue place.
Right.
But that's a good barbecue place.
It's so good. And I know they have t-shirts.
They do have t-shirts that are really cool looking, actually, yeah, with the fork and the knife kind of crossing, crisscrossing. They have a lot of good outdoor seating, too. So that's one, too, for our who Ashley. If you take the red streetcar to City Park, Blue Oak Barbecue has a lot of outdoor space, so that makes that good as well. There are plenty of bars in the Marigny and the Bywater, hole-in-the-wall places. I'm thinking of Marquis and Bud Rips. I don't know if they have t-shirts. I think they do. Let's see. Another place that's off the beaten path, but has gotten a lot of good reviews and I really like, is called Bootsy's Thai. Have you been there?
No.
It is, I think it's spelled B-U-D-S-I. It is billed as authentic Thai from the Isan region, which is all I know about the Isan region. But it's on Rampart Street, right when Rampart kind of breaks off into the neighborhood.
Okay.
Really, really good food. Again, I don't know that they have t-shirts, but that's off the beaten path. And new. They used to have like either a food truck or a pop-up somewhere, but that's a good place. Lots of places have t-shirts. Barracuda has t-shirts. But Snake and Jake's would be the most, like, if you go there, and that's definitely not a place for you, Ashley, with kids, but if you go there and get a t-shirt, that's about as divey as you can get in New Orleans.
I agree.
Let's see. Oh, you know what else? Giacomo's. Giacomo's, yes, has shirts. Yes. Giacomo's is a wonderful kind of divey, but really more spacious than you would think, restaurant with a bar in the front on Oak Street. So that's a good shirt to get and a great meal. And then you could go right next door to Maple Leaf if they have reopened and hear live music there.
Yes.
So that.
Oh, and Tipitina's.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
They have a t-shirt.
They have a very iconic t-shirt.
Yes.
It has like a banana on it, which I just read this the other day and I forget the reason, but it's tied into Professor Longhair, who the bar, like there's a big image of Professor Longhair inside, and Tipitina's refers to one of his songs, and I forget the reason for the banana, but the banana is part of the logo, and so that's kind of a classic New Orleans shirt. So there's a bunch for you. Mark Wilson. You know, I was worried about not having enough questions, Liz, and now I'm worried about having enough voice. Mark Wilson, we are walkers and love roaming neighborhoods. We get ideas for decorating our porch and gardening. What are some of your favorite streets or neighborhoods that make you happy and inspire you? Gosh, that's a good question, and also a really good question for a realtor. But I will go first. Maple Street. As you walk down Maple Street, it is both residential and commercial. The area around Tulane University has lots of both big houses and small houses with great porches. I think the Marigny and the Bywater are fun because the houses are so bright and colorful. You know, St. Charles Avenue is neat, but the houses are way beyond the reach of most of us. And the porches are probably not properly called porches. They're so large. But I think Uptown, particularly as you get between the river and, or say, between Britannia and St. Charles Avenue. Camp Street is a street I really like. Like, one of these days, Liz, I want to walk the whole length of Camp Street from downtown to the park. So it's about 6-7 miles because a lot of the houses are small, but the porches are really cute.
Okay.
And lots of good architecture.
I'll do that.
Yeah. So maybe we'll do that
get
one day.
My walking shoes on.
Right. I know our friend David Moore would be up for that,
yes,
too.
Yes, he already agreed to do a walking, quote-unquote, tour for me, so, or with me. So
that's a good street. How about you? Neighborhoods that make you smile.
I absolutely love walking the Bywater. Mm-hmm. It's specifically Bywater. I like to, I popped into Dr. Bob's art studio, and I don't know. Everything about it just makes me happy. I find myself just going on random days. I also love, okay, so there are these two streets in Bayou St. John called Verna and Lita. And there's this mansion called the Luling Mansion. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I try to take people when they come in town to see it, if we're around there, because it's just so beautiful and weird.
Uh-huh.
And I just don't understand, like, why it's not one residence and why it isn't mine.
That's a good one, too, if you're in town for Jazz Fest, because it's right a couple blocks from the main entrance to Jazz Fest, but it's kind of tucked out of the way. Like, unless you went, somebody told you, you would never go down that street.
No, because it's a one-way in and then one-way out on the other street. So you have to know to go down one street, and it kind of curves around, and then you come out the other.
Right. And I think it curves because it's almost right against the track.
It's right on the track.
Yeah. That's a good one. New Orleans is such a good place for just wandering neighborhoods, too.
It's so good. I know. You can really find a lot. And I think an agreement with you about Uptown by the park area, not so much St. Charles, because what, by the time you walk one block, you've only gotten two houses.
Right. So. Right. Fair point. Right. Yeah. You know, it's also neat in Audubon Park. So Audubon Park was the site of the 1884 Cotton Exposition, which was the World's Fair, basically. And so there is a street called Exposition Boulevard, which really isn't a street so much anymore as the walkway on the downtown side of the park. So the side closest to the French Quarter. And those houses front the park. And particularly as you get across Magazine, so the back, the very back of it, there's some riding stables back there. And you get near the zoo. There's a lot of funky houses back there with cool porches and cool architecture. So that's kind of an off-the-beaten-path place to wander. There's also a labyrinth back there. Yeah, it's kind of this meditative walking path. It's just a circle.
Okay.
You follow the bricks. It's right by the, what is it called? The living tree? The giving tree? The big oak tree back there where people get married sometimes.
This is in?
Audubon Park.
Audubon. Okay.
Yeah. That's what 5 years of the podcast will do. Like, I know all these random bits.
Right.
Yeah.
I did not know
but
that.
But there's a labyrinth back there. Okay. So when you need to go get your meditation on, I go there at least once a week. I'm not sure what that says about me. Let's see. Let's move on. Donald to Tara. I mean, here we go. This is the whole reason we brought you, Liz. Besides, I just wanted to see you. I am interested in hearing from Liz Wood about the NOLA real estate market after COVID.
It's crazy, like everywhere else, apparently. So I do help locals, but I also help a lot of out-of-town folks who are realizing their dream. I find that there's a mix of things. So the out-of-towners are realizing their dream because they think, okay, well, I need to do this now. We just, we're in this pandemic. We don't know when is the last day of my life. So I'm going to go ahead and move. So I love that because it just feels like there's a lot of enthusiasm around and positivity around moving here. Uh-huh. And then the locals are stuck in their houses looking at each other like, I did not intend to see you this much.
Right.
So I need a bigger space. So, like, for example, I have just the mix of clients I have right now. One's looking for a vacation home. One's looking for a vacation condo. I have some locals who are upgrading but downsizing. So they're going to do basically a brand new house and then sell their old house that they're like, I'm over it. When if we're not going to do it now, when are we going to do it? So I find that there's that. And then also there are the interest rates that are low and really enticing. Now they are going up.
Right.
They're almost like a solid percent up from where they were.
Right,
like still low. Still
2 weeks
very low.
Ago, right?
Yes.
Right, but still.
But still, it feels like a gut punch when you could have been paying 2.5 and now you're at 3.5. So it's exciting. It's also high pressure and people have to make a decision very quickly. I will say that I don't see every house going for above list price. And I think that people think because they're in multiple bids that that's the case. And it's not all the time. So it's really gratifying. I mean, I just feel like people are happy about it. They're happy to be moving. And I'm enjoying it more than ever, honestly. I'm busier than ever and I'm loving. And maybe it's just, you know, partially I think we're all ready to have like some real positive experiences. So I love being a part of it.
Well, and I do find, like, in the Facebook group, of course, when someone decides to move and then they seek out the group or they seek out the podcast, almost by definition, they're excited, right? And they tend to have this as a dream, like you said. But then the other point's true, too, about, and probably true nationwide, right? People are just sort of tired of looking, all the things you don't like about your house, now you're in your house all the time.
It's pronounced.
So, you know, the other thing I'll say is I think that there was a time many years ago now where New Orleans was really inexpensive relative to other places. And it's certainly not a New York, a Seattle, a San Francisco, Los Angeles, but it is not the bargain that it once was. And I think in many ways you're paying for the experience of being in New Orleans and all that the city has to offer. In terms of just so much, the things we're talking about today, right? So many things to do. So, you know, you have to balance that. But it does seem like our neighbors just sold their house, and there's certainly a lot of demand for housing in New Orleans.
Well, Mark, you put us on the map, and so now there's a housing shortage.
So, you know, great. So I'm to blame, I guess. I know I have sent several people to Liz Wood at lizwoodrealty.com. So keep that in mind when you are ready to move. Let's see. Melissa Derry Stiltner. I understand the issue with Airbnb, but in cases where it simply makes more sense for someone to utilize that instead of a hotel, is there a way to ensure you rent from a local? Well, the easiest thing to do is to ask. And to ask if, you know, a lot of the listings, I think, say owner-occupied or owner-run. But I would straight up ask that question. And that comes up in our group a lot. So we could do a whole episode on that, which I really don't want to do. But the problem with Airbnb was that it essentially was unregulated at first. And so you had plenty of people buying up a lot of property in the French Quarter. And there was just essentially no regulation. So all of a sudden, and then in the Marigny and the Bywater, you had people that did live in those neighborhoods complaining that all of a sudden there was no neighborhood feel because there were all these like absentee landlords that owned these properties and were run by commercial, you know, commercial entities. And it just lost the thing that's great about New Orleans. So they got rid of Airbnbs in the French Quarter. And now you still have the issue, particularly in the Marigny and the Bywater. You know, does the person own it? Like I have a good friend who owns a double and lives in one half. So I would say, I don't know if you have other thoughts on that, Liz, but I would just ask is the simplest thing.
Agree. I mean, I support, you know, I'm selling a couple a duplex right now, and they're likely going to Airbnb the bottom. Uh-huh. And it was a good financial decision for them. They'll live on the top, uh-huh. Airbnb the bottom. And I mean, I would support that.
Yep.
They're following the rules. Uh-huh. Now, I mean, I've been in houses that are both sides being Airbnb'd, right. And I'm like, okay, but they're selling them too. So right. There's, and that's helping with inventory actually. So a lot of these buyers will buy, live on one side and mm-hmm. then Airbnb. So it's legitimate again.
Yeah. Yeah. And the easiest thing is just to ask.
Correct.
How are we doing on your time? I know I'm between you and happy hour with your friend.
Oh, we're good.
Okay.
We're good.
So let me know. 'Cause it just turns out we have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Karen Montgomery, I like free outdoor spaces like the Singing Oak at City Park. Any hidden gems that you'd recommend? We've mentioned a couple already. I think Algiers Point, wandering the levee. City Park is full of spaces that are free. The Old Grove, which is the section behind Café du Monde and between City Park Avenue, is a beautiful space. There's a fountain. So in Audubon Park, between Magazine Street and the zoo, there's a fountain. And there's a matching fountain in City Park. I forget the lady's name, but there was a woman when she died, she gifted funds for the purpose of building those two fountains. And she was very interested in the children of New Orleans. And so they both have kind of a child theme. And her idea was a place for kids to go and kind of play. And they're both shallow. So like the kids tend to splash in the mm-hmm. in the fountains. So those are really good places. Levees in general in New Orleans are good places.
I mean, if you can make it out to the lakefront, it's, yeah. I know it's kind of a hike, but it's not, it's New Orleans hike, mm-hmm. which right. is very small compared to other cities. And I think it's worth going out to the lakefront, and walking that and just enjoying a different body of water than the Mississippi.
That levee is neat too, because on one side you're facing the lake and on the other there's really nice houses.
Yes. And that would be another good neighborhood walk in there.
Yeah. There's a, I guess, is that called Lake Vista?
Lake Vista.
So there's what locals call the Bird Streets. And there's a whole network of, like a park behind the house. So the houses kind of surround this park that you can't really drive to. And so you walk out of like the back of the houses and you're in this whole network of park. And that's a really cool spot.
Families actually, multiple members of families live amongst, in amongst each other in that area because it's a nice, it's such a lovely.
Yeah, kids can run out the back door and be in a park. In fact, I've asked Liz several times. Like, that's a place I would like to live.
Right.
So yeah, that's a good one. And that's way off the beaten path. Also at the lakefront, you made me think of that. There's a fountain called the Mardi Gras Fountain, which has these plaques representing each crew. So it kind of has the logo of the crew. So that's kind of a neat thing too. All right, Kim Sitz. This one's probably for you too. Thinking ahead to retirement, if you were thinking of retiring and moving to New Orleans, is it more cost-effective to rent an apartment or purchase a home? And this is a little bit of a loaded question, I would say. What neighborhoods are best for retirees? So I know you help people rent often in advance of buying, right? So they come and...
Yeah, they come, they get a feel for a neighborhood and... Plenty of people in that age group. I'm helping one now, and their son lives here, so they have a reason to be here. So yeah, it is a loaded question because I don't know the whole financial backing of
it. There's finances and there's what you're interested in, right? Do you want a condo type thing?
Neighborhood though is so, it's not like, you know, like I used to live in Las Vegas and it's the 55 plus community where you can't even get in unless I tried to get in because I wanted a quiet community. That's just says a lot about me. But I would say literally every neighborhood, yes, there are family friendly, but they're all inclusive.
Yeah, I think it kind of gets to the nature of New Orleans, right? That New Orleans is very diverse and very mixed in terms of not only like ethnicities, but in terms of population. So we've lived other places. We lived in Houston where there were like gated communities for, you know, retirees. And New Orleans just isn't like that. I think my advice would be, and this is, again, I guess a plug for Liz, but this is why a realtor is so important in New Orleans, because every neighborhood has such a different feel. Somebody like Liz can really help you kind of get to know the neighborhood. I think that's probably the most important thing. And often in many neighborhoods, there's a pretty decent range of prices. There are certainly more, I'll say, upscale or more expensive neighborhoods. But you can be in one neighborhood and sort of from front to back, there's a pretty good range.
Yes.
So I really think my advice would be renting is sometimes a good idea when you're moving here. I know you've had several clients that we know that started off renting and then, you know, a year or 9 months in sort of got the lay of the land. And
yeah.
Then,
and they've sometimes thought, this is the neighborhood and then total 180.
Right. You get out and explore and
you know who you are.
And like the other thing is in the Central Business District, Warehouse District, there are a lot of condos now and you may or may not think that's for you. We lived in a condo, a high-rise building in Arlington, Virginia, and it was terrific, but we wouldn't want to do that with our kids. Now, maybe, you know, if we were retired, we might go back to that. But that's an area where it'll really appeal to some people, and then some people won't enjoy that because, you know, at night it's just a little bit different than a, you know, maybe a typical neighborhood. So
that's true, though. The Warehouse District has a lot of second homeowners and retirees, and they love it because you walk downstairs and there's 10 restaurants within a block.
Right. And there's no upkeep, right? You're paying for that in fees, but there's no upkeep.
Exactly.
And you walk out and you're in the midst of the the art galleries and the museums and restaurants. So it really depends on where you're at, as well as your as you mentioned, sort of your financial picture. Jim Mintzer asks, Jazz Fest is scheduled to take place the second and third weekends of October. Do you think I should come? Before COVID, I've been to 20 consecutive fests, or just wait for them to go back to their regular date. So I gave that away earlier, Jim. Come. It's going to be a once in a Jazz Fest experience, right? To have an October Jazz Fest. And so, like, I can't wait. My kids can't wait. They're like so excited just because it's different, right? So if it's 90 degrees, they're going to be really disappointed. But come. It's the Jazz Fest after Katrina was really special and heartbreaking and moving and unique because of that. And I think in many ways, although for a whole different reason, I think that's what this is going to be. It's going to be cathartic for those of us that love live music. It's going to be cathartic for New Orleanians who just, Jazz Fest is part of the rhythm of their lives. So if you love Jazz Fest, and it's starting to look like that's going to happen, you know, I was a little skeptical at first, but now as the vaccines roll out, just yesterday, the fairgrounds announced that they're going to host it, which sort of freaked me out because I had never even thought of the possibility that they might not host. But that is right up against the start of horse racing season. It starts on Thanksgiving. So, yeah, my advice is come. And if you find me, buy me a beer. I'm there almost every day. So
That's a trooper.
I know you're not. I know Jazz Fest is not your thing.
I'm
right?
there after hosting the crawfish boils for the out of towners.
Got it. I like just can't get enough of Jazz Fest. Cannot.
Oh, I guess I won't be hosting crawfish though in October.
No, that's true, right? We won't have
maybe oysters.
Oh, so now like that's really interesting because some of the vendors sell crawfish dishes, right?
They have boiled the frozen crawfish.
Oh, don't say that.
I know.
Crawfish Monica. I guess that's crawfish
Monica
tails.
Was always one of my go-tos, and the crawfish pies from. Yeah. Is it the Natchitoches?
Mrs. Wheat's Natchitoches. Mrs. Crawfish.
Okay.
Pies. I think that's right, Mrs. Wheat's.
Okay.
Yeah. Side note about that. So I'm going to call myself out. This is embarrassing, but it is what it is. I wear cargo shorts to Jazz Fest. Wait, it gets worse. And I line the pockets with foil so that I can put, say, a half dozen meat pies in my pockets so that I don't have to keep going back.
Amazing.
And it turns out, like, I'm not the only one that does that. They say that, like, people show up with Tupperware and all kinds of things. So, yeah, there you have it. Anyway, Jim, that's more than you wanted. Yes, come to Jazz Fest in October. Come say hi. All right, a couple more. Melissa Walker, how is your book coming along? So we'll tackle that first. So the book. Longtime listeners know that I have a contract with a national publisher to write the Beyond Bourbon Street Travel Guide to New Orleans. Unfortunately, I guess I picked the worst time in the history of the modern world to write a travel guide. So I've had to rewrite it twice. I just submitted the revised first draft to my editor about 2 weeks ago. So it is scheduled now for publication in December of this year, 2021. It's really hard, y'all, to write a travel guide when places are shut down.
And shutting down by the day.
Yes. So by the time it comes out, some of the places won't be in existence and some new places will be there. So that's where I'm at, Melissa. It has been the it's been a really tough thing as a first-time author to have to like keep writing this book as things are changing. Melissa asks, what are the busking laws, if any? So the best answer to that, there is a group in New Orleans called the Music and Culture Coalition of New Orleans. So I think that's macno.org. And they have this really great graphic that explains both for visitors as well as for buskers the do's and don'ts. So one of the things I did not realize until I looked at that this morning is that you don't need a permit to be a busker. But there's rules you have to follow. What I will say is there are buskers that essentially claim the same spot on the same days of the week. So if you're a busker, you don't want to sort of invade on somebody's regular spot. But they have this really cool, in fact, I'll link to that. And I need to make notes of these things I'm saying I'm going to link to. But they have this really cool infographic that explains it far better than I could. So look for that in the show notes, Melissa. Joe Sweeney, who many of these folks are patrons, but Joe, I know Joe is. Joe says, "Hey, Mark, I'd like to know if there's a thing, in air quotes, in some city or part of the country that you wish were a thing in New Orleans." For example, in San Francisco, I always wish we had New Orleans Go Cups, the ability to drink them while walking around. You know what aggravates me about that, Joe? We had this period a few months ago where we didn't have Go Cups, like during COVID. Like all of a sudden, we became the only, you know, we became like every other city in the United States. Joe says, number two, brilliant, brightly colored houses. Although in San Francisco, you guys have some of that with the Victorian architecture. On the other side, I love the neon signs announcing bars throughout San Francisco and the Bay Area. When I come to my second city, and he means New Orleans, Joe is here a lot, I always note the absence of neon and wish there was more in New Orleans. Okay, so Liz, the bottom line here is there something we love in another part of the country that we wish was here?
You know, I don't. So I love Europe, so I can say here, but I love Paris in particular. So sometimes I think I would love like a really like a bigger walking area of I don't know how to explain it, but yes, but maybe it's just that's why you travel and you just love whatever city you're in.
Sure. Paris feels like a city turned inside out, right? Like it's lived outside.
Yeah.
The cafes, the bars, the, you know, you can get a croque monsieur just almost from a stand.
Right.
So, yeah, I do agree with that. Gosh,
or
Joe.
New York. I mean, same with New York. I love New York has so much energy. I wish people walked more here. I think that I wish there were more walking friendly like actual streets.
Sure.
Or bigger sidewalks or something.
Sure. And of course, because of the oak trees, the sidewalks we have are just a mess. Right?
They're so messy.
You know, kind of along that same line as you were saying that, I lived in Northern Virginia and we lived in a high-rise condo, as I mentioned, and you could go out the back door and be on a rails to trail trail that went like 185 miles in one direction.
Yeah.
And there were lots of greenways like that. So the only thing we have even slightly comparable to that in the heart of the city these days is the Lafitte Greenway, which is really nice and relatively new, but it's 2.5 miles long. It connects the Treme with mid-city. And so it's nice, but it's 2.5 miles long. So I think for me, Joe, that's the thing. That's the thing I miss most about Virginia, really, is the plethora of green trails for running, for walking, for cycling. And we just don't have a lot of that here.
Agree.
So that would be my thing.
More, I know we have bike lanes, but I don't feel totally safe.
I would agree.
On the bike
lanes.
And I've just kind of stopped riding my bike because I'm nervous. And
right.
So, yeah, I think more pedestrian friendly for me would be whether it's bicycling, which I know is not pedestrian, but any mode of transportation besides a car.
Yeah. Yeah, because New Orleans is such a, it's fairly compact, so you can get places pretty easily walking or riding the streetcar. Yeah, it's interesting that we're both kind of circling in on the same
idea,
theme, right?
Yeah.
So that's it. All right, Joe, your next question is, well, what are the rules and customs regarding king cake outside of the pre-Lenten season? So this like caused the group to blow up a few weeks ago, the Facebook group. Here's the simple rule. King cake season is carnival. So it starts on Twelfth Night and it ends at midnight on Mardi Gras. That's the rule. That's what purists do. That's the rule in my house. The kids know it. No, you can't eat the stale king cake on Wednesday, Ash Wednesday. That's the rule. At the same time, like, do what you wanna, you know? People like got crazy in my group. Like, I wanted to shut the group down. If you want to eat king cake out of season, you know, you're probably going to hell, but that's fine. That's your choice. If you ask a New Orleanian, that's the rule. Violate the rule if you want to violate the rule, you know?
Just don't tell anybody.
That's right. You know, some places like Haydell's, they sell, what do they call it, a Kringle the rest of the year? It's good.
It's not quite a king cake.
It's not. It's more of a...
It's like a praline. Yeah.
Yeah.
I got some at Christmas.
Yeah.
But I mean, they're not... It's not the...
It's not purple, green, and gold.
Correct.
I'm sure you can find them here and there. I saw one at a grocery store the other day, a purple, green, and gold king cake. You know, at the same time... So again, do what you want to, but is a local going to snicker at you? Yeah, they are. Just like if you wear Mardi Gras beads in July on, you know, walking down the street. You can do it. Why not? I mean, you're here to have fun, right? But is it the when in Rome? No, you know, when in Rome is eat king cake during carnival.
And you just wish for a very long carnival season.
That's right. Here. This was a short one, so you had to really pack it in.
I packed it in.
Yeah, I did too.
Chris and Jen and I would come together and compare notes on which king cake we had eaten.
Of course. And there's more variety of king cake than there ever used to be.
Oh.
Dozens and dozens.
Gosh, the King Cake Hub is...
Also on Broad Street.
Also on Broad Street. Now, it was on Canal.
Mm-hmm. It's actually in the Broad Street Theater this
year. Yes. It's my go-to a lot for king cakes because they have, I don't know, probably like 60 different types.
Yeah, dozens.
Something
dozens.
Like that.
Yeah.
Some of the same bakeries, but the bakeries will do multiple variations. And man, there was an apple goat cheese one that was so
Jen loved
good.
This, and I or Chris loved this. So this is our good friends Chris and Jen. Jen, listeners of the show for a long time know Jen is the one that named the show Beyond Bourbon Street. She was a elementary school, still is a really dear friend of my wife's, but was an elementary school friend, and Chris was a coworker of mine, and one thing led to another, and they became a couple and got married and became clients of Liz. But yeah, that goat cheese apple thing seemed a little much for me for a king cake, but you know, there's something for everyone.
There is.
So back to short king cake season, we did pack it in as well, and the kids were aware. So they were like, well, we need two king cakes because, Dad, it's a short season, right? I think next year's a little bit longer.
We just kept feeding our neighbors. I was like, oh, here's a new king cake type. Let me know how you like it as I'm off buying another one.
Right. So the rules are carnival. Drives my kids crazy because Dad's a purist. But, you know, if you're not, that's fine. All right. We are down to our last. Did we miss it? No. All right. We're down to our last question, Liz. Oh, and it's a doozy. He even says, Sean says, maybe this is not for the Q&A, but what would be your thoughts on 72 hours in the city? Like the New York Times travel pieces they were doing, what's your must do as a visitor with only 72 hours in town? Well, first of all, that should be an episode.
Yes.
So whether you and I do that or whatever, or I do that, that should be an episode. Having said that, I think we hit on a couple of them. It would depend if it was your first time visiting, but let's assume it is. I would definitely say you want to wander the French Quarter. You want to go on the green streetcar. You want to see the river, whether that's walking up to the river or going across to Algiers Point. A cemetery.
I would plan out all of your meals.
Yeah.
I would definitely have a plan because some of the restaurants book up a month in advance. So you definitely want to know where you want to go. And I mean, obviously, Mark and I both have our opinions.
Mm-hmm.
And I would spread out, go to different areas of the city.
Yeah, that gets to your point about the retiree, right? I mean, the neighborhoods are so different, and they're close, right? You're just New Orleans far is 7 miles, 6 miles, right. And most things are close.
$12 if
right?
you take Uber or Lyft.
I'm a big fan of City Park. I would probably put that in my list. To your point, Liz, I would spend some time just wandering. You know, the Marigny and the Bywater or the Garden District, you know, those three are as different as can possibly be the Garden District compared to the Marigny and the Bywater. But New Orleans is a city that's really best experienced on foot and kind of slowly, you know, just absorbing it.
Yes.
So that's kind of a synopsis, Sean, but that is, I should do an episode about that. Maybe I'll get you back and we'll do that.
I would love that because, you know, I did start my little travel blog.
Yeah, you did. Where can people find that?
So it's called Roaming with Red because I have
Liz
red,
has red hair,
for those of you who don't know. And I haven't done a ton, but I actually did plug myself because somebody asked in the group where to go outside of New Orleans that was kind of close. Sorry, we're in the middle of taking a photo. Yeah. And so I did little mini trips around New Orleans, and I'm writing one right now on what to do around New Orleans. Mm-hmm. And swamp tours are some. Mm-hmm. And Sazerac House. So I'm actually getting to do tourist. I don't even feel like they're touristy. I feel like locals love mm-hmm. touristy things too.
But I think it's easy to get sucked into your day to day or your, you know, your routines, like anywhere.
It is.
I would like to believe we're a little better at taking advantage of some things than others because, say, Mardi Gras, it just envelops you.
Right? Yeah.
So there's no, you know, it's pretty hard to get away from Mardi Gras. Well, we'll have you back and we'll do that.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, because the other thing you've done with Roaming with Red is some day trips, or not day trips, overnight trips that aren't far.
Right.
And that's a really cool, we did something about Lafayette. McElhenney Plantation.
Okay.
Not McElhenney Plantation, McElhenney where Tabasco's made. We've done something about River Road and the plantations. But I know you went the other way. You went towards the Gulf Coast. So that would be a good.
I did some Ocean Springs. I'm going to Mobile, my husband's birthday, and that was his request.
We're going to Dauphin Island, which is 2.5 hours away.
I looked
really
into
nice.
That because of you.
Really
I
nice.
I need to know That's where you stayed.
Yes, it's a very Dauphin Island's interesting. Now we're off on a tangent, but it's 2.5 hours from New Orleans. You don't have to go through the Mobile Tunnel like you do to get to Florida. And it's really remote, so there's no grocery store on the island. You have to bring everything mm-hmm. if you intend to cook. And there's like one hotel, so you're mostly renting a house.
Okay.
But because of all that, it was a perfect place to go during COVID because by definition, it can't be too crowded.
Right.
All right. Well, that was a lot longer than I thought. Liz, I so appreciate you taking the time to do this.
This was fun. I was nervous. And then
I know you are, but
it's
you're
like
natural at
I'm
it.
Talking to Mark.
You know, which we do, right? Again, thank you for your homeowner that graciously allowed us to use this lovely house. What's the listing address again?
It's 3707 Nashville Avenue.
I love it.
And so, Nashville is such an appealing street. So my appraiser told me, and he said that this is one of the more sought out. So we have a little median in the middle that uh-huh. we call neutral ground. And it's just one of the more, it's a really pretty picturesque street for all the way from Fountain Blue all the way up to the river.
Yeah. And I happen to live fairly close by, and I can tell you why it's so desirable, because it is, although it's not mid city, which technically is the heart of the city, it is really close to all the arteries that you need to get around. So we can be downtown in 7 minutes, which is where I work by day. You can be out the other way to Elmwood and shopping in 7 minutes. You are about 5 minutes from the interstate. You are 6 minutes from Magazine Street. So it's really easy on surface streets to get anywhere in the city. That's what makes it so appealing.
It is.
Despite the fact that I got lost today because I was not paying attention, I drive past this house 3 or 4 times a day. So it is a great spot. When you are ready to move, LizWoodRealty.com. Liz is a sponsor because I love her and I believe in what she does. And so many of the members of our Facebook group have worked with Liz and really had great experiences. So thank you for that. But thank you for hanging out with me.
Yeah, I love it. I love the community. And as the community of the co-community of your of Beyond Bourbon and Lizwood Realty, uh-huh. They've made lifelong friends with each other, because I do heavily promote the I have a lot of gatherings, or I did before COVID, but I think I'm gonna start. I have a big backyard, and I'm going to set up some tables, and I might do a crawfish boil.
And we've talked about that with, people that have come to you through me. And that reminds me, just randomly, Melissa Walker had this other question about, do you know of any Canadians who were successful at moving to New Orleans without being married to an American? So we have someone in common, but I don't know if she's married to an American. Kieran.
She's married to an American.
Yeah. So
in Arkansas, and
that's right.
Yes,
that's right. So in the Facebook group, Kieran KY, I hope Kieran, you don't mind me calling you out. I don't think she will. Kieran KYRAN Pittman, right? Pittman.
Kieran Pittman.
Yes, I should know that since she's a neighbor of mine. She is a Canadian, married to an American, but she is, one, really proud of her Canadian heritage, and two, she would be the one to seek out in the group and ask that, because if there's anybody in the city that fits that criteria, Kieran would know them. That'd be my guess.
I agree.
Anyway, this has been fun, but I am standing in the way of you and your friend and drinking on the front porch.
This was equally as fun, and I actually almost brought some wine, but next time.
Well, when we do the 72 hours in New Orleans.
Yes, we're going to have wine or
I'll
beer.
I'll expect that, sure. Well, you know, it's my show. All right, it's just going way off the rails here, so it's about time to end.
New episodes are available every other Wednesday. If you're enjoying the podcast, please share it with someone else who loves New Orleans as much as you do. Until next time, laissez le bon temps rouler.
Thanks for listening to the Beyond Bourbon Street podcast. Find us anytime at beyondbourbonst.com.